This year, as I mentioned in the email, is a blend. On Shavuos, I gave a shiur on Pelegish that was sort of, well, it was number one, geared to the popular audience, and number two, it was at 4 a.m. to provide translations and so forth. But I wanted an opportunity to flesh it out a little bit more and look at the issues in greater depth, so that's what we're going to do here. And it means that you'll see some of the sources on the sheet have translations. Those are the ones that were on the source sheet there, because I felt that there was really no value in removing the translations just to make this sheur, more authentic, so to speak. So you'll have the English there. Those who are above that don't need to look. The first source on the sheet was just to remind people of 1995. And if you remember this, the wave of interest in Pelegesh, there was a group in Brooklyn called the Shalom Bayis Organization. No one was ever really sure whether it was a gag or not. But they made it into the media. Washington Post, New York media, of course, talked about this phenomenon of trying to resurrect the idea of Pelegesh, of concubines. That if there is dissatisfaction between husband and wife, then rather than lead to adultery and immorality and impropriety of various kinds, better to have it sanctioned in a legal format. After all, the Torah talks about a pelegesh. We will see that Rabbi Yaakov Emden defends the practice. And so they put it out there. I still don't know. I don't know that anybody knows how serious this was. There was a fellow in my community who called up and left a voicemail on behalf of his brother as a prank, hoping he would get called back. I don't think he actually was. But at core, right, we find Pilakshim in Tanakh. Abraham has Pilakshim. David has Pilakshim. So really, the burden of proof here is on those who would prohibit it. Right? You could argue the burden of proof is on those who are permitted from the fact that Jews haven't done this in a very long time. But really, the burden of proof is on those who are going to say it's Osir. Where did you get that idea that it's Osir? The Gemara seems to take it as a given that, yes, there's such a thing as a Pilagish. If you take a look at source number two, Nashim Biksuva Vikidushin, Pilangshim Biloksuva Vikidushin. We have a format for it. The format is, and the distinction from marriage is, that a normal marriage, there is a ksuba, right? A payment that the man owes the wife in the event that the marriage is dissolved via divorce or via his death. And you have the act of kiddushin, which we spend much of this year talking about. And the Pelegesh has neither. The truth of the matter is that there are different girsos. There are different editions that are present here on this. So that there's another version of it that says that the Pelegesh does have kiddushin, just doesn't have ksuba. But I'm going with the edition that we have in front of us in the Gemara. That seems to be the popular edition. The Shelas Yaves of Yaakov Emden says you could see this in the word Pelegesh itself. If you take a look at source number 3 from his major tshuva on the issue in Beis Tesvav, he says, V'chol zeh lo shayach ela balokeach isha gemura shezocha ba dvar mechin hi zocha bo bedvar masara levichach tzarech lekonsa takanas chachamim b'chuppah v'kiddushin. He says the need for chuppah, the need for kiddushin, is only where you marry a woman and there are certain rights and responsibilities. So she has the 10 rights from him. He has 4 rights from her. What they are is not our discussion right now. As opposed to in the case of a pelegesh, and he writes in parentheses, She'ena ela peleg isha knutrikon shala. Peleg split can be half, doesn't have to be, but it can be. But it's she's a partial wife. That's the way that he reads it. Pelegesh, peleg isha. So therefore, he says there's no requirement of chuppah, kiddushin, and so on. We're going to come back to that a little bit later. But that's his explanation of the term. We have, as I said, a history of pelegesh in Tanakh. Avram has Pilakshim, David has Pilakshim. You could always say, well, Avram is before Matan Torah. David HaMelech, actually, the Kesef Mishnah has a very interesting approach. If you take a look at source number 4, you see the reference, first of all, to the different editions. Kasav HaRav HaMagid, Uludaz Rabbeinu Vadai Kachi HaGirsa. The Magid Mishnah says, the view of the Rambam is that the text should read, Pilakshim Kiddushin Belok Suba. Not absence of both, but yes, Kiddushin no ksuba. But ein dvar of mechubanim. But he says that's not correct. Shem Rabbeinu Hatzmu Kasav Herdal Mehilchas Malachim Eitzel Hamelach Pilakshim Belo Ksuba Ubelo Kiddushin. He wrote it in Hilchas Malachim. There is no ksuba, no Kiddushin, like our edition in the Gemara. Fine. Jumping though to the second. Actually, no. Continuing there, that's what I needed. The Ella Beyichud Bilvad Kona Oso Mutareslo. Just by identifying her as his Pilegesh, that's what generates the relationship. Yichud here does not mean being alone together. Yichud means designation. Aval HaHedyot Aser BePilegesh Ella BaAma Ivriya Bilvad Acher Yud. He says for a non-king, the Rambam writes, that you can't have a Pilegish relationship. What you can have is Ama HaIvriya after Yud. Remember that? A Jewish girl can only be a Shevcha when she is under the age of Bas Mitzvah. Once she reaches the age of 12, she has to leave that. And at that point, there's a possibility of Yud, that she marries the person for whom she had worked. So that you will have as a possibility, but that's it. Not Pilegish. So that idea is then borrowed. The Ama Ivriya after Yud is borrowed in the next paragraph in source number 4 in the Kesef Mishnah. He says, "Varamban b'tshuva kasav de pilegesh mutaris lehedyot shere David nasa osa v'lohuska b'kasav v'lo b'gemar hefresh me'melach lehedyot." Ramban says that Pilegesh must be okay because David had Pilegeshim, he's after Matan Torah. And don't tell me, as the Rambam will, that kings are different. Because Tanakh doesn't ever make any such distinction. The Gemara doesn't make any such distinction. Umatzinu gedola Yisrael nosim osa. And he says, I have news for you. Leading Jews married them. Jews who were not kings. And he mentions Kalev having a Pilegish. Gidon is a shofet. He has a Pilegish. And Hashem talks to him. So that's pretty good. The Pilegish Begiva, he says, is actually, he quotes Pilegish Begiva, but it's not so clear. He says, Pilegish Begiva ilu haisa asura alav la'amar akasa vayakam isha vayelach. In the story of Pilegish Begiva, it says that her husband got up and went, or Vayelech actually, he got up and went. It wouldn't have called him that if Pilegish was in fact not a legitimate relationship. Others argue that the fact that he's called Ish suggests that it's not a normal Pilegish relationship. It wouldn't be a husband. But in any case, he continues to say, he says, Ve'ein mikol eile tshuva al Rabbeinu. He adds the note also, there was no embarrassment. He went to his father-in-law, right, when she initially left. So, ostensibly, that means that this is above board and it's considered an okay thing to do. We're in the Kesef Mishnah number 4. But then he says, none of this is really an answer to the Rambam. He borrows the formulation of the Magid Mishnah and says, maybe the answer is that all those Pilakshim were not actually Pilakshim, they were all Shvach after Yud, they became Bar Mitzvah and then they married. The Yavis of Yaakov Emden himself rejects this idea, and he says, you can't tell me that that's what the Pilakshim were, because we have a term for an Amo HaIvriya after Yud. You know what she's called? Wife. Isha. She's called wife. That's it. She's not called Pilegesh. So he does not like that idea at all. But the upshot of this is that, number one, we have a framework in the Gemara for it. Right, the Gemara in Sanhedrin that we saw, number 2. We have a history of it in Tanakh. We find it, as we noted in that Ramban, that not just Malachim have it. In fact, Rav Yaakov Emden thinks that this is seen in the Gemara, in the classic Man HaVeliyoma Gemara, in source number 5. This is an offshoot of the discussion about the Kohen Gadol always needing to be married and having the backup wife for the Kohen Gadol and so forth. So, Rav ki mikla le Darshish machriz, man havi liyoma. When Rav went to Darshish, he would announce, or somebody would announce, who will be for the day, meaning who's going to be his wife for the day. Similar Rav Nachman when he goes to Shach Netziv, man havi liyoma. To which the Gemara says, wait a minute, you're not allowed to marry multiple women in multiple areas. There's a concern for causing arayos, because it's going to be hard to keep track of the children. So the Amri Rabbanan Kala Islahu, the answer is in the third line in source number 5, no, everybody knows when it's the wife of one of the Rabbanan or the child of one of the Rabbanan. If you're Rav's kid, everybody's going to be aware. But wait a minute, we have a different problem. He shows up in Shach Netziv, he shows up in Darshish. They identify a woman Now you need 7 days. You need Shiva Nikiyam because he has proposed to her. You automatically need 7 days. There's no such thing as just getting married right away. To which the Gemara says, yeah, they were told in advance. The alert went out in Shachnitziv that he's going to be there. So they would let them know in advance. The Ibais, Ema, alternatively, they weren't getting married. The point was simply that he would know that in the event that he stays there, he has somebody available to him, and that gets rid of his Yetzirah. But Rav Yaakov Emden says, there's no way that within this framework, and even in the beginning of the sugya, where they're assuming that it's actually a man havaliyom, it's a one-day thing, and that they're going to get married, there's no way there's a ksuba. You're going to give a ksuba now for this relationship? He said, because you're paying money. Meaning you're only there for a day, and then you're leaving town. You're going to give her 200 zuz? He says, it can't be. It has to be ksuba. That's Rabbi Yaakov Emden's argument. He says, it has to be no ksuba. It also, lest you say, okay, fine, this is a creature of Tanakh, the Gemara has some kind of a framework, but it doesn't go beyond that. The Shulchan Aruch thinks it happens. If you take a look at source number 6, Shulchan Aruch quotes a case from the Rosh. Mi shagiresh es ishto, man divorces his wife, v'nisyached ima, and then he is alone with her. V'kodem shagiresh hashenis, you need a second get. So after that, lakha echad l'shem pilagesh. Somebody else took her as a pilagesh. So asur l'shneim, v'tzvicha get mishneim. She's usher to both of them, and she's a get from both of them. Without going into all the nuances of the case and why you get a zita from both of them or whatever, because it's not really the point. The point is Shulchan Aruch is dealing with it as a live issue. Yeah. It's not like this is a Betzara Amora. And not only that, I brought you two more halachas in Shulchan Aruch just to show you this isn't just even the Rush. The Pilegesh in source number 7, Pilegesh miyuchedes lehish sherotza linase la'acher tzricha lahamtin. A Pilegesh who is designated for one man and then decides she wants to be with somebody else, he uses the term linase. I'm not sure if that's specific, but he says tzricha lahamtin, you need to wait 3 months. Why 3 months? Because of Havchana, right? We're concerned that maybe she's pregnant. You need to know the paternity of the child. But the point, again, for my purposes, is not about the Havchana per se. My point is, the Shulchan Aruch is dealing with what you do in a Pilegesh situation. And you know that this isn't talking about a Melech, right? How do you know it's not talking about a Melech? No. I mean, it's true, it's not a Halchos Malachim. I don't think there is a Halchos Malachim in Shulchan Aruch. But because there's no marriage to somebody else. The wife of a Melech is done. That's it. So there is no Tzricha Linaseh L'Acher. And then in source number 8, one last one. Misha Haisalo Pilegesh V'lo Hu'ad Shekija Mutaris Bekroven. If a woman was a Pilegesh to a man, and no one knows that there was ever any Kiddushin, everyone assumes that it was just a Pilegesh relationship and that's it, she's allowed to marry his relatives. That's one of the unique elements of Pilegesh as opposed to marriage, is that it doesn't create the Arayos relationships that marriage would. But again, this is straight Shulchan Aruch. So much so that source number 9 is kind of complex. It's kind of perplexing. Shulchan Aruch in Eben Ezer Chavav actually deals with Pilegesh head on. Right? You can't be married unless you do kiddushin. If, however, the relationship is one of znus and not for the sake of kiddushin, it is nothing. That is not marriage. And even if he does intend it to be for marriage, but nobody else knows, there are no edim, right? We talked about this in the civil marriage discussion. That's not marriage either. And even if it's exclusive, so just the opposite. We're going to compel divorce, not divorce, they're not married, but we're going to compel the end of this living together relationship. That's a bad thing to do. So the Rama says, why are we forcing them to separate? He quotes the Torah. The concern is, she's not going to go to mikvah. because what they're doing is something that we don't generally recognize. So the Rama says, and this is going to come back to us later in Rav Yaakov Emdin, that essentially this is the gzera of Pnuya. He is not allowed to be with this single woman because she's not going to go to mikvah. However, in the event that they have an exclusive relationship and she indeed goes to mikvah, some say that's okay, but who pileget shemur batara, and that is pileget. The Rama says, yeah, there are rishonim, Ravid, we know him, who say this is okay. The yesh omim shaaser, and others say no, it is in fact prohibited. Belokin alzeh mishum lo siya kadesha, and that there are malkos for it under lo siya kadesha, and guess what? That's going to be Rambam, Rush, and Tur. So, what exactly is this tzad iser? What are these prohibitions that we are talking about? Aside from a general concern of morality, unacceptable in society, but like, what are the issues that we are dealing with here? So the Delraisa issue would be the argument that this is zinus in some form. That a conjugal relationship without the benefit of kiddushin nisuin has a status of zinus. Now, in order to really define whether this is or is not zinus, we need to ask, well, what is zinus? Right? Well, what is that? And the answer is we have two different definitions. Machlokas Rambam Ravid. Take a look, please, at source number 10. Rambam writes, Kodam Matan Torah, Haya Adam Pogea Isha Bashuk. Right, pre-Matan Torah, the Wild West. So they decided they were both interested. They would be together and they would part. So Zoyinikris Kadesha. That's what we call Kadesha. Mishnah Torah Nesra Kadesha. That became prohibited once the Torah was given. The Lafia Kadesha Mnos Yisrael. Lafia Kol HaBoel Isha L'Shem Zinus. Below kiddushin. Therefore, if he is with her for the purpose of znus without any kiddushin, lokem in hatara mipnei shebaal kiddusha. Right? Anytime it is l'shem znus. Now, the term kiddusha means what? So that's what I would have assumed. Kiddusha means to be dedicated for this purpose. Is that what the Rambam sounded like? When in his scenario, does it sound like she is hukdash for this purpose?
Certainly not for a long time.
Not at all. He met her in a bar. He's a computer programmer, and she is a lawyer, and they have their jobs, and they have their lives, and whatever it is. I see no reason to assume that this Isha is in any way, even though you're right. Kadesha, the way I always understood Kadesha, is that the term to be Kadosh is to be designated for a particular purpose, perhaps separated from other things if you like, but fundamentally, to be Kadesha meant you were dedicated for it. The Rambam doesn't seem to think so.
I think Kadesha is simply just a technical term that was reapplied to anyone who does not have a legitimate relationship.
Possibly.
Kadesha probably originally came from the holy prostitutes in different temples.
So I've heard the allegation made. I have to admit I don't buy it, but I've heard the allegation made. It's a popular allegation. The temple prostitute phenomenon was it, and then the term Kadesha got borrowed from that. I don't believe it holds water, but enough people do that I wouldn't discount it.
Call a prostitute a hooker, you know, she doesn't walk around with a hook.
You know you're on recording. I'm just saying.
terms get developed.
In a chanami, that's true. I just don't think in this context that fits. That's all. That method works. But the Rambam writes that that bia that is l'shem znus, meaning it's not for the sake of marriage, equals kadesha. That's the Rambam's formulation. The Ravid is what Jerry is talking about. Amar Avram ein kadesha ela mizumenes. He says no, kadesha is where that's her lifestyle. V'hiya mufkeres l'chol adam, she's available to all men. So she met this guy on Tuesday. She met somebody else on Tuesday night. V'hiya mufkeres l'chol adam. Aval hameachedes atzma li'ish echad. But if she is designated for this man, they have an exclusive relationship. Ain ba lo malchus v'lo isir la v'hi happy legesh aksuba. He says this is pilagesh that we're familiar with. There's no iser involved whatsoever. Like we talked about, some have the text that there is kiddushin for pilagesh. But either way, there's only a losase in the event that she is available for everybody. Otherwise, that's not znus. So my basic machlok is Rambam Raivid. The Rambam believes any conjugal relationship which is not for the sake of marriage is znus, and therefore he has no room for pilagesh, because pilagesh is not marriage. So therefore it's in this category of not marriage, and therefore it is znus. Whereas the Raivid effectively has three categories. He has for the sake of marriage, he has hefker, and in the middle he has pilagesh. Neither for the sake of marriage nor hefker. They have an exclusive relationship and they just did it to a marriage ceremony. Yeah, so the Rambam we have not yet answered. Well, Rambam we're going to answer for it momentarily by saying a melech is different. We already saw a little bit, you were outside. But but we already saw that the Rambam is going to say kings are unique. Why they're unique, though, we still have to answer. Because I don't understand what that means. Exactly. So we have to come back to why the king would be able to get away with it, but that was our answer so far. And then we had this other idea of the Amah Havriya after Yud, which, again, Rav Yaakov Emden said, Amah Havriya after Yud is called wife. But Raivid is not alone. When he says that Kedesha and Znus is only by a Mufkaris, Ramban agrees. If you take a look at Ramban, he's building off of the Gemara in Yuvamos Lamed Zayin. I sort of think that I've got it backwards on my sheet. Flip to source number 12 first, please. Let's see the Gemara in Yuvamos first, and then we'll come back to the way that that Ramban uses it. I probably should have reversed it. The Amar Abaye. He said, Abaye asks, "Menah mina la dechol sveika l'Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov kivadai mashvi le." He has a principle that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is concerned that at safek cases as though vadai. What am I talking about? Look at his example, and then it'll be clear. Disanya, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Hare Shaba al Nashim Harbe. Man lived with many women. Ve'ein yodea al ezo mehen ba. He says, if a man were to live with many women, he doesn't know which ones. She were to live with many men and not know from which one she had kiddushin, or from which one she had a child, the result would be that incest would be broad. Right, it would be widespread. Avnoses bito, avnoses achoso, v'nismale kola olam kulu mamzerim. The whole world would be filled with mamzerim. Valzenemar umalaha aret zima. That is what the pasuk means when it says, "And the land, if you violate these laws, will be filled with zima." If you violate the laws in Achrimos and Kedoshim, you'll fill the land with zima. So Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, "I don't know that this is going to happen, but I treat it like a vadai, malaha aret zima." So you can't have that go on. Now, flip fast, please, to the Ramban, as he's quoted in the She'elas Yavetz. Ramban writes, Lo yadati bame yistab kuba. Tivade muteres he came and sheikh tolatzmo. He sides with the Raivid. He says, what's the big deal? The man and the woman, in this case, are in a relationship. She is not going to be involved with others. Remember that, leave it aside. So Nesra Isha Biznus Elami Midrasha Shor Belezer Ben Yaakov. He says, look, the Isser for a woman to engage in Znus is Umalah Aret Zima, which we see in the Drasha of Belezer Ben Yaakov that we just read. Velzek Kasuf Umalah Aret Zima. Ava Kashaykh Lesavibeso, but if she's living in his house, Vimi Uchedes Viyadua Lo, and she is known as being with him, Banel Nikur Mal Shmo. Everyone knows who her kids are. Everyone knows who their father is. Mutaris. Shari David Nasa Osa below his Husker Bakasa below the Gemara Hefresh Bemelech Lehedyot. He makes the point that David did it, and there's no distinction between kings and others. And he says just the opposite. Matzino Gidol Yisrael Nosin Osan that we talked about, Gidon and so forth. Ve'im Tomar Shana Shofei Kimelech. And if you're going to tell me, well, Shoftim are different because they're like kings. Right? There's a nice piece by Abarbanel, some of which may even be correct. The Abarbanel has a piece in the beginning of Sefer Shoftim where he gives you five ways in which a Shofet is like a Melech and five ways in which a Shofet is not like a Melech. I don't mean to be flip in the way I address what Abarbanel had to say, just that there's a lot of machlokas among the Mefarshim about his list of five and which things did apply and did not apply to those Shoftim. But there are ways in which he's like a Melech. But he says, if you're going to tell me the Shofet is a Melech, it's like a Melech, but who you do, because everybody knows him, well, in that case, you now have left this open to interpretation. I think that I am well known, and therefore I don't need to worry. That person wants to have a Pilagish, he's not so well known. I don't think it's okay for him. Like, how in the world are you going to do that? At least with Melech, you have criteria. You know, you need it to be anointing. Once you start getting past Melech, it becomes very fuzzy. Jerry?
The first reference to a relationship is, of course, like a Yazov Ishazov.
Right.
If you read the Dovah Ishazov, not as the physical, pure, physically, but as
relationship.
Having a relationship, sticking with somebody.
Yeah.
So then that would change the whole understanding here, because then it would be more like the Ravid.
Why?
Because
as long as it's an exclusive relationship. The problem is that is a pasuk for everybody, not just Jews, but for non-Jews as well.
Yeah.
So I would argue that still is the Kodem Matan Torah world. Even if you're going to say V'davak B'ishto is an exclusive relationship and that is approved, I'll say yes, but that's the Kodem Matan Torah of Adam Pogei Isha B'shuk. You know, I think you could make that response. So
it sounds like, at least here, the Ramban is not really addressing the Znus concern, just more the Yuchzik concern is the issue that we don't know who the children are.
Well, yes, but his definition of Znus seems to be where it's like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, everybody everywhere. That was what I was picking up on there. It would seem, and I think Rav Yaakov Emden makes the point as well, I think so. So it would seem from here that the Rambam and the Ravid, as well as Ramban with the Ravid, are going to disagree about Pilagesh. The Rambam is going to say, this is not for marriage, therefore it is Znus. And in fact, in source number 13, we've already referred to this, but we didn't see it inside yet, the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim. V'chein lokech mikol gvul Yisrael nashim u'pilagshim. The king can take from anywhere. He can take wives, he can take a pilagesh. Nashim v'ksu v'kidushin, pilagshim v'lo ksu v'lo kidushin. That's how we know that's the Rambam's edition of the Gemara. Unless someone back edited the Rambam to fit their edition of the Gemara. Ela bichud bilvad, but just simply having this designation, kona osa umuteres lo, that's the way that they transact, that's the way she becomes mutter to him. Avala hedyot, asur bepilegesh. No pilegesh for a regular Joe. Ela ba'amaha ivriya bilvad achar yud. So again, just like we saw before, the Rambam is very, very clear that this is not okay for anybody else, only okay for a king, whereas the Ravid seems to be fine with it. So that, it would be your Isser, right? We started out by asking, so what's wrong with Pilagesh? The answer would be Znus, according to the Rambam. However, Rav Yaakov Emden thinks that we're misreading the Rambam. He says that's not the way to read the Rambam. This will be the one bit of Iyun sort of within this shir, so those who want it, enjoy it. He makes the argument that the Rambam and the Ravid are working with the same definition of Znus, even though it's very clear the Rambam prohibits Pilegesh for anyone whose name is not king. He's not going to argue that point. It's black and white in the Rambam. But he says that's not the idea. After all, as we've already asked, if the Rambam believes that there's an Isser for everybody else, why would it be okay for a king? Just the opposite. The laws are stricter for a king than they are for everybody else. Right? The laws of marriage. Lo yarbelo nashim, right? Granted that we take in the Gemara to mean 18. I get it. And technically speaking, there's no limit of 18 for anybody else. I mean, good luck, but you just have to be able to support everybody and keep them all happy. But the fact is, we are stricter regarding kings than we are for everybody else. Why should Pilegesh be mutter for a king? and not for everybody else.
What about horses?
Well, horses don't figure into this calculation.
No, but why does it say it by only by king, rather not by regular people?
Because the pasuk says, "Well, Yeshiva ha'am Mitzrayim." No one else can bring the nation back in order to get horses. Yeah. And there's more to be said. The horse thing is kings and armies and much more than that. But the sorry. And the, yes, but that's that. They all that would apply for everybody else too. The but Rabbi Yaakov Emden explains what the Rambam is trying to do. He says the issue is znus kedesha, but the Rambam believes that relationships outside of marriage are kedesha. Right? And the Ravid had said it's only four mufkeris. That was the way we read it. Mm-hmm. Rav Yaakov Emden says no. The Rambam agrees with the Ravid. Znus is only about where she is mufkeris, where she's available to everybody. How can he prove that? 14. Hilchos Nara Basula. The Isser Kedesha Echad Hu Bein Bebesula Bein Bebeula. The Rambam writes that Kedesha applies to a woman whether she's been with a man before or not. Ein La Knas Kemoshe Biarnu. And at that point, she will not have the Knas from a Fata once she is already a Kedesha. Shareizu Bechezgas Shehivkira Atzma Ladavar Zebiritzona. Because when she is a Kedesha, we assume she made herself available for this. She made herself Hefker. So, in other words, according to his read of the Rambam, the issue is mufkeres. The issue of znus really is mufkeres.
How do you do it here? All dogs have four legs. Not everything that has four legs is a dog.
Yeah, so meaning.
So you're, this is a classic kedusha. Okay, but it doesn't mean that everyone
who is mufkeres is automatically kedusha. All kedushas are mufkeres, not all mufkaros are kedusha. Right, but that's not his way of looking at it. He believes that in fact the definition of znus, it really is hefkeros.
So
why doesn't it apply to a melech? Because of what we said in the beginning. Right? When I asked the question of how do you know that the
no one can sleep with the king.
Exactly.
I'm sort of a king is out.
No one else is allowed to live with the king's wife. Once she's been with the king, it's over.
That's right.
So therefore there will be no issue of hefkeres for a melech. And he argues that the Ramban will the Ramban will extend this to the shofet as well, and say that also with the shofet, no one else is allowed to be with the woman who had been with the shofet.
That is the rule.
That's what he said. That's what he believes he will say. That's Rav Yaakov Emden's argument that the Rambam will include the shofet. The and this is the biggest reach in a set of reaches. He says that man havaliyoma that we saw right with the Talmud Chacham who goes to that place. Well, man malchi rabbanan. The right? Who are the malachim? Who are the kings? The rabbanan. So therefore, they're like a melech also, and that's why man havaliyoma could be for a pilegesh. And the Rambam will agree that man havaliyoma in yoma yudches is actually for a pilegesh relationship as well. No, Rabbi Yaakov Emden says that about the Rambam.
So why is a pilegesh considered mufkeres?
Why is a pilegesh?
The Rambam, if the issue, why is he? Why
because she can be with this man and then she can go to that man and no get is needed and no kiddushin is needed, so she can just end up being with a lot of different people.
So how do you test this?
Yes. Sorry? No, he said it's test test with carrots.
So how do you define a pilegesh if there's no construct around her relationship other than she happens to be living in her false house?
I mean, they have some kind of an agreement between them. She is not going to be with anybody else
as long as
they are a thing.
Yeah.
And then, once they're no longer a thing, so 3 months later, she can take up with somebody else.
That's almost the Raman's definition of months of the shock, and then when she says, I'm not interested, and she can walk away.
It really does sound like just like that, no?
Doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's a hard read, but this is his read.
Yeah.
And he's a back of him.
Pilegesh seems to offer a construct. I mean, you go to this story with Avshalom and David HaMelech.
Yes.
And as is Avshalom,
which
clearly sounds like that was intervening in someone else's relationship. But according to this reading, those Pilegesh could have said, oh, I guess because it was the Melech.
First of all, it's Melech, which is the whole point.
Yeah, that's it. Okay.
The way Rav Yaakov Emden reads it is that the Ravid and the Rambam are disagreeing about this point. That it's not a debate of does znus apply when it's not mufkeres, But the way we first looked at it was, it's a machlokas of, is it znus if it's not mufkeres? Now, he's saying, no, the debate is a pilegesh called mufkeres or not? According to the Rambam, she is mufkeres unless her husband is the king. According to the Ravid, she's not mufkeres at all. She's miuchedes.
But according to this halacha, znus and mufkeres is the
king. Yes. Correct. It's a wild read.
It's very difficult to read. It's difficult in my mind to call this Cheska Shev Kira Atzma for Pilegesh.
Sorry?
Let's go back to Rambam. Why does Rambam say Mafkir? Does this Cheska Shev Kira Atzma? Why is this a Pilegesh according to the way we're now reading this? Why is a Pilegesh considered a Kadesha? Because she's not really mafkir atzma, she's miachedet atzma, isn't she?
So
you're saying the fact that she can walk away from it. She says, I'm not walking away right now.
Right, until the next second when she can say, I am walking away.
Okay.
You know, there's no structure in which he has anything to discourage him from divorce, or she has anything keeping her from walking away.
The fact that she can just simply walk away as opposed to wife who can't walk away and has to receive a get. Because the husband controls all the strings for getting.
That plus the fact that he has no disincentive either for, you know, for disrupting this relationship. There's no ksuba.
Flag of the fact that this is before Torah.
No.
Well, this isn't.
This is,
what you're about to say.
I'm going to ask here now.
Yeah.
Hoda and Sila are
yes.
the first
polygamous relationship.
But it says, at least the Medrash, that one is for Hashmash,
right,
and one is for kids.
And it didn't work out.
But no. But
they won't have kids.
But that concept is not mentioned here, even though with Avram, kids, you know, it's not just. I won't use the thank you, ma'am.
Yes.
Type of thing. There's some kind of stability to it. It's not.
Only because those are the cases that we think about.
Well, the first example is one.
Because the cases that are of Pilegesh that we see in the Torah are stable.
But those cases are also our conceptual cases.
Now. Has a Pilegesh.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a stable relationship, it sounds like.
Yeah, no, I'm saying the cases we see in the Torah that are identified as Pilegesh either are stable or don't give us enough information.
Although Abraham did send them away.
When he was dying, because he didn't want to mess with his
family. Then of Chai.
Right,
but he was assuming he was going to die.
And he was that whole parsha there, he's taking care of making sure Yitzchak is going to be okay. That's what Abraham is doing. So he gives the presents, and he says, go. Not to the Pilakshim, B'nei HaPilakshim.
Is it pay off your place in the Yerusha?
Yeah, precisely.
Well, that's what it is. But.
So, that's the D'oraisa level concern. Is this Znus? D'Rabbanan, you have a few other possibilities, and then you have a few other possibilities that are below D'Rabbanan. Within the D'Rabbanan, the first concern that's brought is, this is a conjugal relationship without the benefit of Ksuba. So if you take a look at source number 15, we learn the rules for having a Ksuba. Achsei D'Rami Bar Chama, Havas Nesiva L'Rav Avya. Right? Rav Avya is married to Rav Bar Chama's sister. Erkas Ksuba, so she loses the Ksuba. Us the commander of Yosef, the commander of Yosef, Amar lo achyam Rav Yudam Rashmul, Zod Divri Rabbi Meir, Al Hacham Omer Masha Adam Asishto, Shtaim Vashaloshana below Ksuba. He says, yeah, Rabbi Meir says you can't stay together without a Ksuba. But the Chum disagree. They say you can go on 2 or 3 years without a Ksuba. Amar le Abaye, Amar of Nachman Amar Shmul, Halacha Rabbi Meir Bigzero Sav. We follow Rabbi Meir on such matters. Hey, Diachi Zilksovla. Okay, Sredor Ksuba. Fine. Writer Ksuba. The rule is, we paskin, you're not allowed to be together without the benefit of Ksuba. Similarly, in source number 16, Rabbi Meir Omer kol poches lebesula mimasayim ula amana mimana harei zo bi'ilas zinus. If you give less than the amount that was set, that's called zinus. And here, what your definition of znus is unclear. Is he just using that as a phrase? Does he mean that like mufkeres because there isn't as much of an incentive for divorce? Unclear. But wouldn't that seem to argue against Pilegesh? Because this is a relationship without any ksuba. Not a ksuba of the right amount, not a ksuba of any amount. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden has answers for both concerns. I brought it for you in number 17. He says, "Ve'ein ba mishum de aser lahashos ishto below ksuba. Demidi utayma lekadesh latek halabein av lahutziyah." He says the whole point of you're not allowed to keep her without a ksuba is because we don't want it to be easy for you to divorce her. That only applies if you got married as a full marriage with a ksuba. Since she married you thinking she was becoming your wife, you got to do it wife style. The pilegesh knew the terms going in. She was good with it. And certainly in the case in Yuma Yerches that he insists is a Pilegesh case. Alternatively, he says, you know what? Maybe Pilegesh is only allowed with a widow. So now the Ksuba is only Derabanan in the first place. Meaning there is a view that Ksuba of Besulas Del Raisa. But he says, for the Almana, it'll be Derabanan for sure. And even though they enacted ksuba for her, here it's a relationship that is meant to end. Right? Go back to our discussion about Mufkeres. He says they didn't say you needed to had to have it if it's pilegesh, even if pilegesh is with kiddushin, and certainly if it's without kiddushin. The pshita lo chalak zeres chacham diksuba pilegesh. So he says this is a different kind of a marriage, but that's one of the arguments that's brought. The same set of arguments is brought regarding the fact that you're missing other elements of marriage, like in number 18, kala b'lo bracha asura l'baila kenida. Right, you're missing the brachos under the chuppah. To which Rabbi Yaakov Emden replies, "What brachos are you going to make?" If you look at number 19. Don't bring me that argument. He says that's why they created this bracha of Birchas Erisin, because kala below bracha is asura labala. So you have this bracha of asar lanu es ha'arusos and so on. He says that whole.
Thing is
only in a marriage situation. The next Derabanan argument is that it's a problem of yichud with a pnuya. You're not allowed to be alone with a pnuya, so therefore you shouldn't be allowed to be in this relationship. So in number, well, it's assuming a conclusion, if that's what you mean.
The whole point of yichud is because of the issue of bia. So you're saying, well, you can't be in
a
bia because you're
going to
be over the
yichud.
Right, so it's not really because of a fear of bia. That's not the way he understands it, no.
You're over yichud whether you have the bia or not.
Yes.
True.
But the yichud is drabanan here. But take a look in the Gemara, source number 20. Amar b'yochan mishum mishum v'yahotzadak remes l'yichud ben atara minayin shenemar ki yisizcha v'achicha ben imecha. Right? Why does the Torah say in the context of Avodah Zarah? When your brother, the son of your mother, seduces you. So why only that one? It teaches you that the son can be alone with his mother. He cannot be alone with any of the other arayos. Leave aside the specifics of that drasha. It's not our point right now. The point for us is Ela Ima. So once he's established that yichud with an arayos is the oraisa, so what's the derabanan? Ela Ima gazra yichud de pnuya. It was about being alone with a pnuya, and it's after the story of Amnon and Tamar. That's where you have this gizera derabanan. So Radbaz says that's the problem with Pilegesh. And he says that's why David could do it, and it was fine, and the Shoftim could do it, and it was fine, because they're before Amnon and Tamar. However, post David, you're not able to have a Pilegesh because of the Gzera of Yichud with a Pnuya.
I, David, had he had yichud.
No, not king. But the Radvan is not allowing the king.
Nobody had yichud with
Abishag. So his answer will be: there's no yichud. There are people in the throne room. Look, Nasan could just walk in. They take a look at source number 21. Look at look at the response of Rav Yaakov Emden. He says, I wrote in that was the Rivash there. Maybe it was Rivash, not the Radbaz. I wrote in my notes that it's Radbaz, but maybe it was actually Rivash, because that's what I wrote it there. I know, it's me against me. He says, "Mashkasav od shamli snatzel ba'ad a Rambam." Va'amar shakarvu lomar shebechlag gzeiras yichud de pnuyei. When the Rivash makes the argument that that the issue is the fear of yichud of a yichud of the pnuya, "Krakasavnu mizel lamala bereshis dvarenu ele v'dachinua karaui." He says, "We already beat back this argument above." Ve'im lachara kachaya ola ladas ivra lechimayinan ba lesa legamri. He says, even if you might think that was true, once you think about it, you see it's not true. Machila amocha bekama uchli. We'll hit him over the head with a whole bunch of cups. Ki yichud de pnuya da alma vada hi geder usyag l'tarami treitami. He says, why is it that yichud of a pnuya is asura? Number one, imishum de oliga be iser, to prevent iser, imishum iser nida de chamir, we're afraid of her not going to mikvah. Like we said before, the cave and chain of Yuchedes lo vaday lo tov la b'shasha misyachidim abeakroi. If they're not in a relationship, right? Then he just, you know, one day sees her on the street and he falls for her and she falls for him and that's what they do. They're not going to mikvah. Tov is v'pisam keish bina ores sheim pnei lidbol v'iba yisema mishum lesa de kedesha gazuba. Or they did it because we're afraid that it's going to lead to kedesha. He says one time is not going to make her a Kadesha. He's found the right with definition of Kadesha. Certainly, if he just seduces her, without any sort of preparation. The fear is that once you break through the barrier, right, this is done once, now they're open to doing it more. Shekvartam, a time of the Yisur, v'lechem starmi inam, other psukim from Mishlei, sof anazei zonai l'gemura v'haba le'achai mishum bias kedesha shel Torah. That is the concern. But he says neither of those relates to a pilegesh. Mashengin v'pilegesh, the whole gzera doesn't apply to her. Just like not with one's wife. He says there's no difference. He says there's no embarrassment to go to mikvah. Everybody knows she's a pilagesh. There's no shame in that, he says. Different societies might have different views. But he says, absolutely not. Then he brings you, Radbaz has another concern, and that is the concern for bigamy, right? In the event that you're going to have these wives in or pilakshim in different locations. So Yaakov Emden responds to that as well. He says, you're right. Number 22. Gam mashabada radbaz, milibo kzera chadasha batama dover sha'asa harambam apilegesh lehedyot. Shigazul cham machmas shabosha litbo lehedyot. I'm sorry, that was on the embarrassment to Tovel. Which order did I use here? And I ended up, I know why. Never mind, because I didn't bring it on the sheet. Leave aside what you just saw in 22. You didn't see it yet. Rabbi Yaakov Emden's response to the concern about bigamy when they're in separate locations is to say, you're right, and therefore it has to be at his central residence. We're going to see it in the last source, in number 29. I didn't bring it at this stage, but we'll see it when we get there. So your deraisa concern is nus, which he thinks he's done away with. He says it's not znus, it's a relationship that's miuchedes, and even the Rambam should be okay with this. The Rambam is not okay because he defines it as mufkeres, but he says in principle it should satisfy. As far as the derabbanans, you know, ksuba or a substandard ksuba, or yichud with a pnuya, or fear of unintentional arayos or whatever, we can cover all of those. Those aren't concerns either. Then you have the concerns that aren't even derabanan. So he mentions the concern about not going to mikvah out of shame, and that's what we just saw here in number 22. And here it is from the Radbaz. Gam Mashabada Radbaz Milibo Gzera Hadasha Batama Dava Shaza Rambam Pilagish Lahedyot. She goes a Khan Mahma Shabosha Lizbo Lahedyot, that it's a Gzera, she won't go to Mikvah. Velola Melchulunasi. Any nis, and it's not a concern if you're dealing with a Melech or a Nasi. Any nis gamimo, I don't agree. Umi yishmalo ledavar azeh. Whoever heard such a thing? Who's going to listen to such a thing? Shem botam varech, chiluk zeh, velo raya, uminyan, you got nothing. He says, there never was any such gezerah. I don't buy it. Then it is another concern. This is the concern of the Rivash. The Rivash writes in number 23, Tzricha mimenu get. Velo matzinu get velo kidushin. She needs a get in order to end the relationship. How can there be a get? There was no kiddushin. Right. And if you'll tell me, no, you don't need it. You don't need a get. Let her go out with her hair uncovered, because apparently the pilegish would cover her hair to indicate she's in a relationship. So now she goes out without her hair covered. Dumi the ben Noach, right? Like in the case of a ben Noach, there's a lot of debate about what divorce looks like among bnei Noach. But ben Noach sheichet shivcha la'avdo k'diisa, etc. Harei atanoi v'menag hefker. That means that the relationship will be hefker. You need to have a get to end the relationship. So writes the Rivash. So the Yaakov Emden says why? Number 24. Hinei atarab. Sorry. The Torah says you create a pilagish relationship with Yichud, you end the pilagish relationship by ending Yichud. Right? We said regarding get. Right? She has kiddushin with a shtar, she gets the marriage over with a shtar. Can it be luggage? Kavayos shall do be yichud, can you see us a basaras, basaras hashimur of hafkas, a yichud, basaras a yichud? That's it.
Makashavayo leads to you, right?
That's what?
Makashavayo leads to you.
Yes. Yes. And that's what he says. That's the way that it ends. I'm rushing a little bit just because I see the time. But he says that's the way that it that's the way that it ends. Or alternatively, at the end of 24, he says maybe it ends when they decide it ends. Betomz manoa musnes beneyam. Whatever time period they gave, they said we want to do this for 3 months. We want to do this for a year. Whatever it is. Oshis ratzu bekach. Or they both agreed. Oshis intatan. Where she got involved with somebody else. However, it's going to end. That erases the designation. Avoiding the mitzvah of marriage is another concern that is brought. The Rivash brings that concern, and this takes us back to one of the first shiurim I gave on Kiddush at the beginning of the year. Is marriage a mitzvah at all? So the position of the Rivash is this is bitul asay. If you take a look at number 25, according to you, Rav Yaakov Emden, the Rivash isn't, you know, at his time, the Rivash is before him. But he says, according to you who think that this should be allowed, and it's just that you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of marrying, in King David Avram mitzvah sasek shalakachat hilakshim. That means that David was violating an asay. Vareyu kolovesh talis flo tzitzis. It's like wearing a four-corner garment without putting tzitzis on it. Ve'echim uteres gemurav over b'yasa mitzvah sasay. V'mitzvah azu menav michlal ha-mitzvos. This is a mitzvah. It's one of the mitzvahs. Haram Banzal recounted it. Ramosha Mikutzi counted it. The Rimi Kurbil counted it. V'loshon ha-rambam zal b'mitzvah zu live ol b'kidushin. Right? The Rambam from his koteret, his heading, writes that there's a mitzvah live all the kiddushin. Vein mitzvah zu lisa isha achas levad bekiddushin mikach achers below kiddushin. Don't tell me you marry one and then all the rest can be pilanshim. No, midikari berak mashilin mishum rishus. Right, b'shein shlo ishu banim. The Gemara at the end of Beitza that talks about getting married and calls that where they've already fulfilled peruvu and so on. Calls that rishus. He says, don't say that. That means he doesn't have an obligation to get married in order to fulfill Peruvu anymore. But if he does want to be with a woman, it's got to be with Kiddushin. Even 100 women, sorry. As you just said, the Baruch Bechas Erisin and so on. That's the Rivash's objection, to which Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, I don't know what you're talking about. He says, it's not a chovas gavra. If you're going to get married, then this is what you do. He says, number 26, we can get rid of the Rivash's argument. He says, you're working from a mistaken assumption. You compare it to the four-corner garment without tzitzis. He says, it's like wearing a garment that doesn't have four corners. So you don't need to wear tzitzis on them. You're not violating, or you're not nullifying the mitzvah of tzitzis by doing that. And even if you're going to say that there is a chovas gavra, right, that you have to actually wear tzitzis, right? So wear one garment and you're done. Same thing here. The gariyah minan, it's less than that. It's not really a chovas gavra. You have to do it. Elam misses period for rivia, but derech heter. She mitzvah mechuyevas al koponim. Betuchel iskan gamay yedei pilagish. She says, just have children in a permissible way. Pilagish is permissible. Having children with a pilagish is permissible. You're done. Avon esias isha shal tara enachovas gabra lakach amra ki yikach ish isha. When you get married, this is the way you do it. Ki sivga ki sireh, and so on. Then it needs to be with Kiddushin. But he says that this is it's just a misread. not so. Another argument that's brought is that it is immoral. Rav Yaakov Emden responds to that, saying, if you don't permit Pilegesh, you'll have worse immorality. And that's really, he seems to be driving this tshuva. He says, number 27, you got rid of the heter, and now people do the iser. If they could do this permissibly, if they knew that was okay, they wouldn't do other things. You should hold big public speeches saying it is mutter. Like Rava in Mechoza, Ger Mutter Bekohenes. He says, this is Takanas Hador here, pal. Save them from terrible, terrible averos and mechshalos, and he goes on the next page. People are going off to non-Jews. The Mutzi Zer Levatala. All of these things can be solved if only you will permit the Shalom Bayis organization to do their holy work. That's what he says. And last, in number 28, the argument that's brought is, it's not minog ha'olam. We haven't done this in a very long time. Granted, the Shulchan Aruch seems to be aware of it as a possibility. But in number 28, he says, he says, the fact they don't do it is their own decision because they think they're not allowed to do it.
Jewish society, general society.
Jewish society. He says the fact that they don't do it is because they think they're not allowed to do it. Uminog betos ain't uminog. Umatiranoso bifneim imnagu machma shayus vurmshu aser. Ubemes umutter. U siag lo kiblu meolam. They never accepted such a thing as a siag. That's his argument. So he says it's not a znus issue, right? That's what he believes. He's siding with the Reifed on Znus and Ufkaris and so on. It's not an issue of no ksuba or subpar ksuba because that's the nature of this relationship. It's not yichud with a penuya because that was fear she won't use the mikvah, she will. Or that was fear of leading to promiscuity. But this is monogamous as a relationship. The fear of arayos is a real concern. And so take a look at number 29, his last source here. He says, anyone who wants to rely on my heter here, he better ask a postek. You better make the contract, do it right to make sure there's no stumbling block. So you have to give her own room. She has to be careful not to be alone with any other man. And if she isn't careful, then they can't continue the relationship. You have to tell her to use the mikvah, and there can't be any shame involved. That as long as she honors the relationship, any kids they have are kosher. Mashenkin and Tizna Olive, as opposed to if she gets involved as Nus, then Boneh, Benez Nunim, Chavala Mishum Kadesha, and so on. I thought he had a line in here also. maybe it's just because he says Cheder Beiso that I was reading into it, where he says, no, you have to be in his house. It has to be, you know, you can't be in random places because of this concern for creating potential arayas. But yeah, Rav Yaakov Emden is the only one that I know of among any postdoc in the last 500 years to come out and say, you know, that this should be done. Every other postdoc is up in arms and says, what are you talking about? This is clear-cut znus. Whatever they're doing in Tanakh, they're doing in Tanakh. But no, you can't do this. Don't read this into the Gemara of Man Abelioma. The big thing that I think Rav Yaakov Emden has going in his favor, and he doesn't really use it, is the Shulchan Aruch. You know, the fact that Shulchan Aruch talks about this as a practicality makes it sound like it can be done. It's very strange that it's there, and yet the Mechaber doesn't seem to think about it in Ibn Ezra Chavav, where the Ramah brings it up.
Is the Mechaber assuming that there is Kiddushin because he says you have to give her a get? Could that be...
Where did he say you have to give her a get? He said you need the 3 months.
In 6. Mishgir says you have exactly 8 months, and Mishgir says she needs a get from both of them.
No, but that's a marriage case. That's not. And then lekacha echad l'shem pilegish, somebody else. Oh, tzricha get me shneihem. That's interesting. I don't know what he would do with that. Why does she need a get from the one who took her as a pilegish? That's an interesting question. I don't know the answer to that. If I get a chance, I can look into it. Why does he sit there? The answer may be simple. I just look up the case that he's drawing on from the Rush. And because it's the Russian case, really, but I don't know. It's an interesting question. Okay. Shkoyach, God willing, next week. At the end of the shir, we had a question regarding the language of the Shulchan Aruch in Ibn Ezer Kuf Mem Tes Dalet, in which he described the case in which a man and woman had been married, they got divorced, the woman was then alone with her former husband, and then somebody else took her as a pilegesh, and the Psak in the Shulchan Aruch was that a get is required from both. So the question was asked, why should a get be required from the second one if she is his Pilegesh? So I went back to the source for this, which is the Rush, as we mentioned in Shir. It's an actual case the Rush dealt with. It's Lamed Hei Yud. And the language there is that the second man was Mikadesh her as a Pilegesh. So I think this is consistent with the views of those Rishonim who say that Pilegesh actually is with Kiddushin, just not with Ksuba. Presumably, the Rambam, among those who did not think that there was Kiddushin, would contend that this Kiddushin was nothing.